All right, we're doing Shkalim Daf Gimel tonight, right? So I'll begin from the top line on Gimel Min Aleph and Shkalim. So it says, "Mitaknin adrachim et rechavod ve'mikvod amayim va'usin kol tzarchei rabim," that we said on the 15th of Adar they would fix the drachim and the rechavod. And the way that Muki Yosef explains drachim and rechavod is drachim are the main roadways, and rechovot are like the small roads that the kids play on. And we said that they would fix it for the Oli Regalim, or else for the people who would be fleeing to the Ari Miklat, be it Mikvot Amayim, and they fixed the mikvahs, they cleaned them out, and they added whatever water they needed. Osin kol tzarchei rabim. They did all the public needs. So now the Gemara quotes a brisa from Moi Katan. Moi Katan deals with the dinim of Chol HaMoed. So the Braisa says, Elohim Sarche Rabim, the following are the Sarche Rabim, Danin Dine Mamonot, means on Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, we can judge Dine Mamonot, in other words, litigation with money. Dine Nefashot, a capital case, we can also judge. Dine Makot, we could judge a case that might result in the person receiving Makot. He says, Upodin Erchin V'Charamim V'Hekdeshot, we redeem. Erchin is when a person says his value of X or Y or Z is upon him, or Charamim, he says that, you know, something's going to be Charam for the Beis HaMikdash or Hekdeshot, so we can redeem it. In other words, the item, they can give money for it, and then the money would go to the Beis HaMikdash, and the person gets the object out of it. He says, Umashkin and a Sota, we can give the water to the Sota on Chol HaMoed. The Sorfin and a Para, we could burn the Para Duma on Chol HaMoed. The Orphin, Egla Rufa, we can decapitate the calf, the you know, when we don't know who, you know, a body was found between two cities, and we don't know, we measure out to the nearest city, we don't know who a murderer was. There's a whole procedure that's described at the end of Parsha Shoftim. Verotzin Eved Ivri, and then we give pierce the ear of the Eved Ivri if he wants to say this to be a Nirza. Umitarin and a Metzora, and we go through the Tara process for Metzora. Umifarkin and a Minal Mil Gabi Amayim. So one way to understand is two ways. Either that we unlock the lock that's under the water cisterns, that we collect water during the winter. Water was a very precious commodity then as now. So they would unlock the cisterns at this point in time, permit people to take the water. Or the other pshat is, and is a slightly different gear, so it's mafarkin and minal mil gabe imam, I think. In other words, on Chol HaMoed, you could take the shoe off of the form, and we've had this before, and in that's the Tiklin Chadatin Korban Eidel Pnei Moshe all have that girsa, and that's what the article says. He says now v'ein machzirin otan, but we can't either, we don't put the lock back on the cistern, or we don't put the shoe back on the form. Okay, so the point is, those are Tzarchei Rabim. So those Tzarchei Rabim, if they come up, we try to do them, you know, beginning on the 15th of Adar. We want to like finish it up, you know, if we can. But if not, we could do it on Chol HaMoed. Now, let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. Tam and Taninan, in Masechet Moed Katan, we learn in the Mishnah, Mashkin Beit Ashlachin U Mitzayin Al Kvarot, that we can water the irrigated field on Chol HaMoed. He says, U Mitzayin Al Kvarot, we mark off the graves. In other words, they would have lime that would mark off the graves, so they would do that on Chol HaMoed. He says, Lo Kvarot Sinu, so the Gemara says, Lo Kvarot Sinu Me'ador, so didn't they already mark the graves on Adar? So we said that on the 15th of Adar, they would mark the graves. And here we're saying that they're going to mark the graves on Chol HaMoed, right? That's what the Mishnah says. This is Mitzayin et HaKvarot. So he says, so the Gemara says, V'tiftar shirat shetef shel gishamim ushtafo. You have to say that it's talking about like a big downpour came and washed away the markings, so then they have to do it on Chol HaMoed. Otherwise, in Achinami, we would try to do that before Chol HaMoed. Let me just do just a few more lines, then I'll pause. Okay, he says V'yotzin afal kilayim. So the Mishnah says that we go out for a kilayim. In other words, if there's mixed seeds, we go out to like arrange that it'll be, you know, pulled out. We don't want the kilayim to be there. So the Gemara says, Lo kvar. Now that's talking about Yotzen Afal Kalayim means on Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, we go out and we're going to remove the the different seeds. He says Yotzen Afal Kalayim. Look for Yatsu Miadar, but in our Mishnah we learned that they'd already gone out in Adar. Why would they do it again? Tiftar Shaita Shana Afelo Minismach Nikarin. You say that it was like a late year, the things weren't budding so quickly, they weren't so discernible. So then they would go out on Chol HaMoed and put those things out. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
What's with the form and with the shoe? Explain that.
Yeah, so it means on Chol HaMoed, there are certain malachot you could do and certain malachot you can't do. So if something's a maasei uman, a very skilled labor, you can't do it. So to pull the shoe, you're making a shoe, means that's the alternative shot. To the person who's building the shoe or the, you know, the shuster, right? The shister, he's the shoemaker. He's making the shoe. So to pull the shoe off the form is not considered a skilled labor. To put the shoe on the form is considered to be skilled labor. You're not to do it, allowed to do it on a Chol HaMoed. All right?
So he can or he can't do it on a Chol HaMoed? He can or cannot?
Again, there's two pshatim in the Mishnah. If we say we're talking about a shoe, he can pull the shoe off the form. He cannot put the shoe on the form.
All right.
Okay, you got it? Okay.
Got it.
All right. Okay. All right. Everybody all set? Okay. All right. Everybody mute. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, Ruth, you need to mute yourself. Okay. All right. So the Gemara says, Minayin l'tzion. So where do we know, or where do we see a remez in the Psukim and Tanakh that there's an obligation to mark off where the graves are? Minayin l'tzion. So Reb Rechia and again, a lot of different yourselves here in the Yerushalmi, but the article helps guide you. Reb Rechia, Reb Yaakov Bar Bat Yaakov, Hashem Reb Chunya Debrat Chavrin. So all these people are saying it. He says, Reb Yosa, Amri La, Hashem Reb Yaakov Bar Acha, Hashem Reb Chunya Debrat Chorin, Reb Chizkia, Reb Uziel Bered Reb Chunya Debate Chavrin, Hashem Reb Chunya Debate Chavrin. Anyway, they're all quoting the following Limud. He says, "V'tamei tamei yikra" is a pasuk that the person who's tamei should call out that he's tamei, so everybody knows he's tamei. "V'tamei tamei yikra," so people know he's tamei, and they'll also be mvakesh rachamim to help him with the situation. So the Gemara says, "K'dei sh'teya tuma kora l'cha b'fia v'umer l'cha prosh." The tuma should call out to you and say, you know, separate from this. So just like we see there's an obligation on a person to say tamei tamei yikra, so like the inanimate object, the grave, it should be marked off, say I'm tamei, don't come close here. Or we're on Gimel and Aleph, Michael, around 15 lines down, okay? So the Gemara says, Reb Ila, b'shem Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman, he has a different pasuk. It says, v'avru ha'ovrim ba'aretz, v'ra'etzam adam, now this pasuk is talking about Mohammed Gog and Magog, that they'll see all these dead bodies. There's a big war that the Nevi'im speak about that'll take place in the future, and then the bodies will be buried in gay a certain valley. So he says that a person will see a bone and build a marker near it. So now the Gemara darshans the pasuk etzem. Mikan Shmit Sinin Al Ha'atzamot. So from the word etzem, we see that we have to mark off if you have, I think, a quarter kav of bones, so that it can give tuma ba'ohel. It can give tuma ba'ohel, and ohel is if you're ma'ahil on it, you become tamei. So we marked it off. Adam Mikan Shmit Sinin Al Shidra V'Gulgolet. Adam, we'd be mark off even if we just have a shidra and a gulgolet, a skull and a spine. In other words, so we have a quarter kav of bones or a skull and a spine is also enough. We'll have to mark off. Uvana, the pasuk, according from the pasuk, mikan shmit signing agabe evan kavua. So we see that we mark off on like an embedded rock on the grave or near the grave. Im omer at agabe evan tlusha. In other words, if you would say that we put it on like an Evan that's not like embedded in the grave so that the oven could roll away, then people will think falsely that this other place is Tameh when it's not. And the place that's Tameh, they'll think is Tahor. So it has to be, the marker has to be, you know, a permanently embedded stone. Etzlo, again, with the Pasuk says, Ubana Etzlo Tzion, he'll build near the marker. He says, L'makom Taharo. In other words, that the marker is not where the Tumah is. The marker is where it's Siltara, and is warning you that the Tumah is, you know, a little bit from it. You know, it's not, in other words, when you see the marker, it's still a Makom Tahor, and then you'll have the Tumah. Tzion, Mikan L'Tzion. So Tzion, a marker, from here we see that there's a mitzvah to build a marker at the grave. Umatzah. Now here the article helps you with the girsa. So they have Tani. We learn in a bright Tana taught in a brisa. Umatzah even achad mitzuyanet afapisha in mekaimin kain hamayil tamei. If you found one stone that was marked off, even though the stone is not supposed to be on the grave, but if you're ma'ahil on that stone, we're going to say you're Tameh, because Ani Omer made, now let me get the girsa right with this. He says, Ani Omer made Hayan atun tachteha, because I have to assume that there was a corpse placed underneath it, even though that's not the way we normally do it. But if I see one stone, then I have to be concerned about that. Is Hayushtayim, if there are two stones, and again, each one has the marking for a grave, and they're marked with lime, and there's an area between them, hamahil lein tahor. Then a person mahil means like if you lean over the stone, then we'll say you're tahor, ubenehen tameh, and the area between them is tameh. We assume that the grave is between those two stones. In other words, ideally, you'd want to have a lot of stones that are tracing out a distance away where the body is buried. So the thing is, when you have one stone, it's like throws us off. He says, imhayach choresh ben atayim, but if I have two stones, and the space between them is plowed, says Harehen Kiyachidiot. Then I have to assume that where it's plowed is not where anybody's buried. We don't think anybody would plow where somebody's buried. So then I have to, treat these stones like as individual stones. And if you're Mahil on the stone, then you are Tameh. Benehen Tahor, Be'al-Gabehen Tameh. So the area between them would be Tahor, and if all of them is Tameh. All right, let me just finish the next Mishnah Halacha, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So Tani, so a Tana taught in a Braisa, in Mitzayin al-Basar, we don't make a marker for just corpse flesh. He says, Shema nitakel basar, because we're concerned that like if I have a marker for the flesh, so the flesh may decompose, then it doesn't give tuma. Then you bring your taharot there and you burn them, whatever, and it's like going to throw everybody off. He says, Rabbi Yusta bar shunem bai kume, Rabbi Mana, Vlonimsa Mitame Taro Lamafreya. So he says, isn't that going to work out though, that sometimes you'll have a situation where you'll be carrying Taharod and it will become Tameh, but you having not seen any marker will assume that it's Tahor. In other words, there's an upside and a downside with the flesh. The flesh is going to decompose, but in between now and the time it decomposes, there won't be a marker there. So some people will think they're tahor okay. So Amalei mutav shikaklu bo l'sham, like kaklu bo l'olam. So he says better the temporary downside is better than the long term downside. In other words, if you have a marker there and it's marking off a grave, that's going to be there for a long time. So people will think that everything's tameh. But in Akinami, there is a downside that in the short term people will carry taharot there and maybe, you know, run into some problems. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did?
This doesn't tell you what you should write on a matzeva or anything.
No.
Where do you find those halachas?
So I don't think you'll find that in the Gemara per se. I in terms of what to write is that's like, you know,
obvious.
Well, no, that's a personal decision, you know, all right.
That's not so unusual that they plow over a field, but we have all examples in the Gemara where there's beta pras. I mean, they do plow over fields where there's bones in the.
Right.
Not so unusual. I mean, it seems like we find it in the Gemara. No?
Yeah, but that was like where we knew there was a grave there and then somebody had plowed over the grave. But the typical situation would be that you don't plow over a grave. That would be the typical way.
Right, typical, but we do fun cases.
So the assumption is it's plowed, that there's no grave there. I don't know what more to say with that. All right, let's see further. Okay, the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? All right, Halakha Beis. Manitin, Amar Bihuda, Rishona Yu Okrin, Mashlich Lefnehen. And we're talking about the Kilayim. We said that in Adar we go out, or the Shluchi Bezdin go out to try to uproot the Kilayim and tell people to uproot it, and then they uproot it. So the Mishnah says, Amar Bihuda, Rishona Yu Okrin, Mashlich Lefnehen. So initially they would uproot, in other words, let's say you had two different types of seeds. So you have, you have grain and you have beans. So it's a grain field, but they have the beans growing, a couple of beans growing there. So they would uproot the beans and throw it in front of the owners. But in other words, the owners could still use it. They could still get hana from it. So you can't get hana if it's with a kerem, you know, with the kilei kerem, but other kilayim you could get hana from it. That they would do that. And then stage two, Misharabu over Aveira, they saw people were still like violating the halacha with this. He said, "You mushlichim the drachim." They shifted over and they threw it on the roadway. So now that they're not going to get hana from it, he says. And then third stage, Hitkinushu mafkirin kol asada. Then they got very tough, and they would be mafkir the whole field, and the person would forfeit if he had the kalayim. He'd, you know, against his will, he'd forfeit all of his field. So the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Yehuda Chulei." So Tani, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Rishona you Okrin Mashlich Lefnehem. That initially they would uproot, let's say, the beans in my example. Vahayu Smechim Shtei Smachot. The owners, they were happy, you know, like they were sinners, but they were happy with that. Achat Shayu Menachshin Sidotayim. They're weeding my field. You know, I didn't want the beans there anyway. They're weeding it for me. He says, "Vahachat Shayu." And then I get hana, my animals eat it. So that was not an effective deterrent to their conduct. So then they had more of our yanim, so they would throw it on the roadway. He says, they were still happy that their field got weeded. In other words, the odd seed got removed from the field. So it's still like a plus, an overall plus for the owners. He says, Hitkinushu mafkirin kola sadakula. So they decided to be mafkir the whole field. So the Gemara says, Minayin shehefker beitin hefker. Where do we know that hefker bezdin is hefker? In other words, the bezdin has a koach to be mafkir things. The bezdin could decide your property we declare to be ownerless. How do we know that bezdin has such a koach? It's in Sefer Ezra. They had a declaration. Whoever doesn't come in 3 days to this meeting, he says his property will be like forfeited and he'll be separated from the Kahal. So you see from the Pasuk in the time of Ezra that the Bezdin did have such a koach. All right. Any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far?
Why don't we just have the best and for chametz automatically say everyone's chametz is hefker, so we don't not over.
So we should declare everybody's chametz hefker.
I like that.
Mm. Seems like a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I have to give it some thought.
Who's the best and who's going to do that?
Which one would declare everybody's things hefker?
The rabbi of the shul is everyone in my congregation's chametz is hefker. We don't need to sell chametz, we don't need to do anything. You need a bestin from the shul. In those days, I don't know if today a bestin, would a bestin today have the power to make someone stuff hefker, or it was only the old bestin?
No, I think that even today they do what they do with some hefker. I know in the base medrash they declare like things that are left in the base medrash, they declare hefker after a while.
The bestin does it, or the bestin does it?
I don't know exactly, but the all right. Let's see further now. Let's mute and we'll go further. Okay, now the Gemara says minayin sheep tur min amas road. Now the Gemara says, how do I know? Let me get this. Yeah, so we said that the court's going to declare the property ownerless. So we said, how do we know that that which is declared hefker is patur from Masrod? Is patur from Masrod? Now, if a person himself declares it hefker, it definitely is patur from ma'aser. This is based on a pasuk. But how do we know if the Besen declares that ma'aser is patur from ma'asrot? So Rabbi Yonatan Bered, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Acha, Shema Lamin Hado. So he said we can learn it from the following brisa. Let me get the brisa out. 1 second. Yeah. He says, "Ein ma'abrin or shana lo b'shviyit, lo b'motzei shviyit." We don't. The Besen doesn't declare.
Did we skip, Baba? Did you skip?
I skipped something.
I think so.
No, I don't think so.
The Hefker part, you did it.
He did that
long pasuk from Ezra, and then
I missed. Right. Okay, I missed.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay. So the Gemara says, he says, "Ein ma'abrin or shana lo b'shviyit, lo b'motzei shviyit." We don't intercalate the year. It means we don't add an extra month in the year in a Shemitah year, and we don't add an extra month in the year following the Shemitah year. Vimibrua, and if they did intercalate, harezu mu'uberet, so it is an effective declaration. Now the Gemara says v'chodesh echad shu mosif lo paturi masrot. Now the extra, in other words, during the Shemitah year, everything is hefker. So during the Shemitah year, all the two is patur from Masrot. So if the Bezdin declares that it's an extra month this year, so isn't it patur from Masrot? So lo patur Masrot who? So the Gemara takes it that the Gemara is going to deflect this proof in a little bit, but that the Gemara takes it that that would be the proof. Now, before we ask the proof, the Gemara, now again, the art school has corrections. So the Gemara says, Nicha Shvius, it's understandable why we don't intercalate in the Shemitah year. And the idea is, during the Shemitah year, we have a lot of prohibitions. We don't want to make it more difficult on people, you know, to go along with something like that. That we understand. He says, Motzai Shvit Mai, why is it that we don't intercalate the year following the Shemitah year? So Amarebi Avun Shel Rabot B'Yisra Chadash. We don't want to create difficulties with the Yisra Chadash. In other words, the people already are low on food, you know, because it's following the Shemitah year. Now it's the first year they can plant. And now we figure there are some plants that have grown, but it's Chadash. And now when Pesach comes, it'll be permissible. So we don't want to create more difficulty in the post Shemitah year. That's why we don't do this. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira b'shem Rabbi Lazar hadada Amar. He said that when he said we don't intercalate in the year of Shvius, it's only Achloiti Rebbe Lavi Yerek Michutz Laaretz Laaretz. That's only up until the time that Rebbe did not permit. And when we said that we don't want to intercalate in the Shemitah year because it puts too much of a financial burden on people because they can't plant on the ground. So the Gemara is qualifying when you said that we can't intercalate in the Shemitah year, that's only Ad Shlo Yitir Rebbe Lavi Yerek Mechutz La'aretz La'aretz, up until the time that Rebbe said you can't import vegetables to Eretz Israel. So the prohibition was in place because the land in Chutz La'aretz has tuma to it. And when we have these vegetables, there would be land from Eretz Amim that would be connected to it. He says, Aval Mishayti Rebbe Lavi Yerek Mechutz La'aretz La'aretz, when Rebbe said you could bring the vegetables from Chutz La'aretz La'aretz, he shviit, he shall shar shnei shavua. So the Shemitah year is not any different than any other year, and indeed you can even intercalate in the Shemitah year. Because, and now it comes out that the tavua they could also import, because there's no dirt connected with that. So he wants to say that the halacha changed with that. This is sort of like an aside issue. Now, Tani Ein Ma'abri Mechulei. So the Gemara says now it's also with the year following Shvius, the law has changed. Amar Rabbi Mana Hadada Ad Amar Bishono Shu Yeshanim Kitikunan. In other words, when he said that we can't intercalate the year that's following Shemitah, that's when, like, we had crops that had already, you know, blossomed and were ready to be harvested, you know, when Pesach comes around. He says, Avalach Shav Shinashan Miktikunan, but today the crops don't grow so well, and if we extend it another month, it's no hardship. He Motzei Shviyad, he Sha'ar Shnei Shavua. So the year following Shemitah is the same as any other year of the Shemitah cycle. So the Gemara is saying initially the halacha was one way, and now the halacha is a different way. All right, now the Gemara brings proof from Bryce. It says, Tani Shol Beit Rabban Gamliel Ibrua B'Motzei Shviyad Miyad. In Rabbi Gamliel's household, they intercalated a month in the year that followed Shviyat immediately after Shviyat entered. So you see that they that they did intercalate the year that following the Shemitah year. All right, now let's go back to our original topic about if the Beis Din declares something hefker, or is it pater from Masrot? So we thought we had proof from the earlier Brisa that said that the Beis Din, if they intercalate in the Shemitah year, it's an effective intercalation, even though that will result in tevuah that will be pater from Masrot. So he says, Amar bi'avon in min hadah, if that's your proof, leit ha'shama minaklom. You don't learn anything from that. Why? He says, Shamur chodesh aviv, shomrei u'shaviv b'chidusho. He says, the pasuk specifically says the Beis Din is charged with making sure the Pesach is in the spring season. So here there's a specific, and he says, guard it that the ripening spring season, you know, should be the time of the kufun's renewal. In other words, the Torah specifically tells them to do that. And the only way we could do that is by intercalating the month. He says, now here he corrects it, v'haida amarda, so where do we have a proof that Beis Din, not in the context of intercalating the month, but Beis Din has a koach to declare something hefker, and that declaration in a different situation would mean that the tefuah is pater from Masrot. Now we're going to bring a proof. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. This Mishnah is a Masechet Peah, which we don't do in Daf Yomi, but you get a little bit of a lot of different things in with Daf Yomi. He says, Gadish lo luka tachtav. If you have a big pile, in other words, leket is one of the matnos aniyim. Leket is when you're harvesting and things fall from your hands. So you leave it, you're supposed to leave it for the aniyim. Let's say there was leket that was on the ground, and the person, I don't know, whatever is doing, he's ignoring it, and he piles a whole pile of tevuah on top of leket. So now the aniyim can't get it because they're not going to go through his pile. So he says, Gadish lo luka tachtav. So the Tana of the Mishnah says anything that's touching the ground belongs to the aniyim. In other words, he's this farmer. We're declaring it's like a penalty. Anything that touches the ground now, you plopped over, you hit all the leket. So now anything that touches the ground will kill leket. But Amar Rebbe Ami, and so the Chachamim did that by declaring it ownerless. And the Chachamim said, that's your crop. Now we declare it ownerless and belongs to the Aniyim. But Amar Rebbe Ami, and turn page, B'shem Rebbe Shimon ben Lakish, he says, to Beit Shammai. He says, this Mishnah reflects the opinion of Beit Shammai that says if a person declares his crop owner, a person could declare his crops ownerless, and then it's pater from Masrot. So according to Beit Shammai, a person could declare his crops ownerless vis-a-vis only the aniyim. I declare it hefker la'aniyim, and then it's ownerless. So here the Beis Din, so he's saying, Reish Lakish is saying, that's this Mishnah is going like Beit Shammai. D'i k'Beit Hillel, because if the Mishnah follows Beit Hillel, aniyim ochlin u'ma'asrin, he says, if it's Beit Hillel, they hold, it's not completely ownerless unless it's ownerless for everybody. So therefore, aniyim ochlin u'ma'asrin. So according to Beit Hillel, the aniyim can eat it, but they have to take ma'aser. Amar le Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi Ami, Shemanu shu patur mimasir divrei akol, mishum kenasa. We've heard that even Beis Hillel agrees that it's patur from Masrot because of a penalty that's imposed by the court. So here the court is working with Hefker Beis Din Hefker, and even though they're declaring it, you know, just for the aniyim, but that's declared ownerless and it's pater from Masrot. So we see from the Mishnah, at least we see from the Mishnah, that there's a koach in the Beis Din to declare something ownerless and make it pater from Masrot and clear from Masrot. Now he says, even according to Beis Hillel, so even though the individual can't declare something ownerless only to the aniyim and be pater from Masrot, but the Beis Din apparently can do that. But the key is that they do have such a koach, and that's what we were trying to prove. Okay, who's a question, comes to thoughts on anything we said or did?
I have a question about the hefker.
All right.
When something is hefker, anyone can take possession of it, correct?
That's correct.
So what stops a person from the Beis Din make a hefker? And he goes, okay, I take it back.
You mean the owner? Yeah, but the Beis Din is declaring hefker only for aniyim. In other words, only the poor people have it as hefker for.
Is there such a thing when I make something hefker?
Yeah, in essence, that's what all the matnot aniyim are. Really, it's really hefker for the aniyim. That's really what it is.
So the hefker. So I'm saying. So when you do hefker, normally it says hefker means I don't own it anymore. Like when I make hefker for my chametz, I am not making it hefker, but someone else can. These are the people that can get ownership of it. But you're saying with this Bestin, here with this, they're saying your stuff is, you don't own it anymore. And the only people that can take possession of it is are Aniyim. Is that correct? Is that the way it works?
That's correct, right. In other words, that this is Hefker Laniyim. It's only the Aniyim who can take possession of it, right? That's the way it works.
Okay. It's a special kind of Hefker then.
How long does it remain Hefker? Forever?
Forever, right? Until somebody takes possession of it.
Didn't we have a Gemara that?
I can't hear you. Go ahead.
I said, didn't we have a Gemara about the mices that the previous generations walked in their stuff in the front in the basement?
Right. We had that.
And the later generation were shocked.
Right.
They wanted right, to
right,
get
right,
out
right,
of
right,
giving mice.
Right.
So I mean. This seems to be a way of getting out of giving mice, you know.
All right, but here, in other words, here the Gemara is saying that regardless of what you do with this, it's patur from mice there. In other words, if it's hefker, then even if I bring it in through the front door and I process it, then it's not chayv and maestro. That's what the Gemara is saying. All right, so under no circumstances a chayv ma'aser. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. All right, the next Mishnah, Halacha Gimel. Manitin, b'chamishasar bo, shulchan aruch yoshvim b'medina, on the 15th of the month, this means on the 15th of Adar, the money changers would be sitting in the Medina. So these money changers, they're going to help you with this, with the machzor shekel. He says, b'chafei on the 25th, yeshvu b'mikdash. They would send the base of mikdash. Yeshvu b'mikdash hechid l'mashkein l'mashkein. So then the Bezin began to like seize money from people who owe it. In other words, everybody should give a machzor shekel, but if you haven't paid this machzor shekel by the 25th of Adar, so then we see you, we start seizing the money from you forcibly. He says, "Et mim mashkinin, who are we mashkin?" He says, "Levim v'Yisraelim, we do Levim and Yisraelim. There will be mashkin v'geirim, converts, v'avadim shukharim, freed slaves. Aval lo nashim, but we're not mashkin women." And one of the Nosei Kalim says, "There's based on a pasuk where we have it." Right. So the Korban Aedah says it says ish kofer nafsho. So it says a person, a man, has to give the machzor shekel, not women. He says, "Volon Hashem, va'avadim, and we don't mashkin neve kanani uktanim ktanim mashkin v'chol katash l'chil aviv l'shkol yado shuvenu posek." But if a father began giving for the katan, the father is obligated to keep giving for that katan. Now, and there's a halakha like this. You know, there's a minhag to give machzor shekel or three machzor shekel. You know, tzedakah before Purim, so that's what the post can bring from here. That katan doesn't have to bring it. Actually, I think the Ramah says, I think the Ramah holds if you're under 20, you don't have to bring it. But if the father began giving for him, he shouldn't stop. Emamashkin and hakonim nidarkei shalom. Now we don't forcibly take the money from Kohanim because of darkei shalom. Now the Gemara is going to qualify this. This is really not darkei shalom. It's because of kabod. We don't mashkin the Kohanim. Am Reb Yehuda. Hey, Ben Bukhri b'Yavne. So Rabbi Yehuda says that Ben Bukhri gave Eidos in Yavne, kol kohen shokel enu chote. That, in other words, the kohen is not obligated to give the machzor shekel, but if he voluntarily wants to give it, he could. That's the first opinion. Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you know, was the Nasi at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash when they moved to Yavne. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lo, kila kol kohen she'eno shokel chote. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the kohen were obligated to the machzor shekel, elo shakonim dorshim mikra zela atzman. This is the kohenim, they have this own drasha, which sort of exempts them. So they're making this own drasha. And the drasha is, v'chol mincha kohen kalil tielo teichel. Any mincha the kohen should be totally burnt, it shouldn't be eaten. He says, and they say, Hova Omer Shtei Lechem, Lechem Apanim Shalanu, since the Omer and Shtei Lechem and Lechem Apanim are ours, we eat them. Heach Ne'achalin. So how are they eaten? So the fact, it must be that they're saying, this is the ostensible argument, that if we were to give the Masa Shekel, they couldn't be eaten. They'd have to be burned because a mincha b'kohen has to be burned. So it must be that we're exempt from giving the Masa Shekel. So we had three opinions in the Mishnah. So the first opinion, the Kohen optionally could give. Second opinion, that's Ben Bukhri. Then we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Kohen is obligated to give. And last opinion, according to the ostensible opinion, according to the Kohenim, that they're prohibited from giving. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
I thought this was Go ahead, Fern.
No, you go.
I thought this was a census method.
No. So in the Midbar, in the Midbar, that's the way it was used. But
this wasn't used for census here.
Right.
Okay. Question: Why are they collecting from people 5 days before it's due?
In other words, first we give the voluntary, compliance. But if
you're giving a grace period of a month to get it to
right, that's right.
But you're coming to me at the end of Adar. That's
so. That's it. So that's it. You didn't pay up by now. Now it's.
I have 5 days left.
No more, Mr. Nice Guy. All right, now. So we're helping you along here. We're helping you along. They're helping you. Okay, now let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Eimim Ashkin and Ketanim." So we said we don't forcibly take the money from the Ketanim. So the Gemara says, "Halat Boa Tovin." So it sounds like I could ask them to give. In other words, I wouldn't force them to do it, but I could demand that they give the Machzor Shekel. So he says. So the Gemara says, "Hadat Tamar." So he says that's only if he's already so signs of puberty. So I assume there's a question how old you have to be given. But the way that the article seems to learn the sugya, like 20, you're obligated to give the machzor shekel. So if he's like 13, so I can ask him to give. He says, avalim lo yivishtei sa'arot. But if he's so young, he's not even signs of puberty. Lobada, then he's not, then we leave him alone totally. He says, now the Gemara says, Ulamashkin, Ein Mamashkinin. Now he corrects on the side, Achiehe ben Esrim. In other words, to actually forcibly seize the Masa de Shekel, wait till you're 20 years old. Keni Manita, we said that, we said in the Mishnah that we're not mamashkin the Kohenim because of Darkei Shalom. So the Gemara says, Keni Manita, the Braisa teaches this way, in mashkin and a Kohenim, m'nei derech ha-kavod. Not because of Darkei Shalom, but derech ha-kavod, that we want to pursue, we have to treat the Kohenim with respect, and that's more than a regular person, the ki dashto. So we don't, as a sign of respect, we don't, and those Kohenim have a certain position in society. So we're not mamashking them, Baal Korcham. Okay, who's questions, comments, thoughts, anything they did so far? All right, let's keep moving. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Heid v'chulei. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda said, Heid ben Bukhri. So ben Bukhri said in Yavne that if a Kohen wants to give, he can give, but he's not obligated to give. Amar Brechia, Tamid Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says the Kohenim are obligated to give. So what's his reason? Ze Yitnu, Yud Beit Shvatim Yitnu. Ze Begematria is 12. So Ze Yitnu, that all 12 Shvatim have to give, and he's figuring that Kohenim are included in Shevet Levi, is the way it's working out, and they are obligated to give. Rabbi Tavi, B'Shem Rav Hamnuna, Kein Meshivin Chachamim L'Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Tavi and Rabbi Hamnuna says this is what the Chachamim would respond to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is on the same as Ben Bukhri, that the Kohenim could give, but they're not obligated to. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says they're obligated to do it. But the end, we had these Kohenim at the end. Now the Chachamim, they agree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Ben Bukhri. So we're being miyashev. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that they are obligated. So now we're giving proof for that. So he says, "Came Meshivin Chachamim LeRabbi Yehuda." In other words, the counter argument is the Kohenim had this little pshetel, and the pshetel was that a mincha of a Kohen is totally burnt up, And some of the menachah that are brought in the Beis Hamikdash are not totally burnt up. It must be that we don't have to give. So they respond, Chatat Yachid Meita, it's not the same a Yachid or a Tzibur. Sometimes you have a din, a Chatat Yachid has to be put to death. He says, Ein Chatat Tzibur Meita, but the same case by Chatat Tzibur would not be put to death. And then Minchat Yachid Kreva, Khalil, if you're an individual and you're a Kohen and you're bringing the Mincha, it has to be totally burnt up. The Mincha Tzibur crave a Khalil. And the Mincha Tzibur is not totally burnt up. So the fact that you're eating the Mincha Omer and the Shtei Alechem, that doesn't prove anything. That's from the Tzibur. So the fact that the halacha is that a Mincha Kohen is burnt up, that's different for a Yachid than a Tzibur. That's the counter argument. So the Gemara says, he says, so the Gemara says, Vakasha, Meshivin Adam Davar Shin Amodebo, is that a great argument? Because you're propounding an argument that the person wouldn't agree with the foundation for it. Ditnan, because we learn in the Mishnah, She'ein Chatat Tzibur Meita. The Mishnah says that Chatat Tzibur is not Meita, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tamut. Rabbi Yehuda Lashitato holds that in Hachinami, the same din would apply, but the Tzibur is applies to the Yachid. So that's not a great argument in that sense. Now, the Gemara says, V'hu Motiv Lan. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda gave his own reply. He says, Zulo nidvat yachid hi, that I don't think it's a good idea for the Kohen to give the half a shekel, Rabbi Yehuda says, because they don't do it like with a full heart, and so that like their mind is not to turn over the shekel to the whole tzibur. V'inun mativin lei, but the Chachamim respond to him, kemen shnim sarad tzibur, kemishu nidvat tzibur. And so once they give it over to the Tzibur, it's like conveyed to the public. It becomes a Nidvat Tzibur. So that's not a great argument. Okay, now Ketiv Kol Hover Al Pekudim says who's ever over on Pekudim who passes through the counting. Rabbi Yehuda Reb Nechemia Chadamar Kol Davar B'Yama Yitain. One says whoever went through Yam Suf, anybody who went through Yam Suf has to give the Machzor Shekel. The Charana Amar, like that's the you know the Aramaic from Eretz Yisrael, like the other one says, "Kol da avar al pikudaya yitain." Whoever like passed through the count, passed in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, "Mandamar kol da bar biyama yitain misayil Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai." So the opinion that says that whoever passed through Yam Suf has to give, that helps Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That indeed the Kohenim went through Yam Suf, they have to give the Masada Shekel. Manda Amar called the Avar al Pikudaya Yitain, one who says that if you pass in front of Moshe Rabbeinu for the census, he says Messiah the Ben Bukhri. That helps Ben Bukhri because the Kohanim didn't pass in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went to their tents to count them. So there's a different method with the census. With the Kohanim, that would seem to, you know, help out Ben Bukhri. Okay, who's got questions, comments to us on anything we did so far? All right, let me do a few more lines, then I'll be it for tonight, okay? All right, list six lines in the.
And thank you for getting us through the Thursday, Daf. That was very nice.
I didn't get you through Thursday yet, but I got you through Wednesday
but
so far.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. That's the
and
game
plan. We
appreciate
plan. It.
Oh, thank you.
On behalf
you.
Of everyone. Thank you.
Bruchatahi, Fern. Okay, or Bruchim to you. All right, now, let's look at. Now, I'll do half this Mishnah tonight, the other half we'll do tomorrow night, okay? So, Halakha Dalin Matnitin. Even though we don't forcibly take the machzor shekel from women, avadim k'tanim, aval im shaklu mekablam miyadan. If they voluntarily want to give, we would accept it. It sounds like similar to a shul, you know. Now hanachri v'hakuti shashaklu. But let's say a Gentile or a kuti, and the kutim were people who I told you they went through different stages, bisman chazal, but eventually they declared them to be goyim. He says, but if they want to give, ein mekablin mehen. We don't accept from the non-Jew. We don't accept from the kuti. He says ve'ein mekablin miyadam, and we don't accept from either one of them the following offerings. Kine Zavin v'kine Zavo. We don't accept the korbanot that are offered by Zav and Zava. He says v'kine Yoldo, the woman who gave birth. V'chataot v'ashamot. If a non-Jew wants to bring a korban achatat or a korban asham, we wouldn't accept it from them. Zaklal kol shenidor v'nida v'kablan miyadan. Anything that could be voluntarily offered, we would accept from them. V'chem eforosh al yidei Ezra, and that's there's a pasuk that says it in Sefer Ezra, Shenemar, lo lachem v'lanu livnot bayit lelokeinu. It's not for you and we to build a Beis HaMikdash, meaning with the Kutim. In other words, we're building the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have a role in this, and the same thing with these individual korbanot. But if it's nidav and nidav, we would take it from them. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did? All right, I think that's it for tonight. Let me end the recording.